For 5 hours, they examined one individual after another who had been identified as an activist in the section. After that, they established the various crimes that could be linked to the apartment on Artillerygatan. A further 9 people had been identified as being connected to the section, although they never visited Artillerygatan. They worked primarily at SIS on Kungsholmen, but had met with some of the section's activists.
It is still impossible to say how widespread the conspiracy is. We do not know under what circumstances these people met with Wardenshaw or with anyone else. They could be informers, or they may have been given the impression that they're working for internal affairs or something similar. So there is some uncertainty about the degree of their involvement, and that can be resolved only after we've had a chance to interview them. Furthermore, these are merely those individuals we have observed during the weeks the surveillance has been in effect. There could be more that we do not yet know about.
But the Chief of Secretariat and the Chief of Budget,
we have to assume that they're working for the section.
It was 6 on Monday when Gustafsson gave everyone an hour's break for dinner, after which they would reconvene. It was just as everyone had stood up and begun to move about that Jesper Toms, Figueroa's colleague from CP's operations unit, drew her aside to report on what had developed during the last few hours of surveillance.
Clinton has been in dialysis for most of the day and got back to Artillerygatan at 3. The only one who did anything of interest was Nystrom, although we aren't quite sure what it was he did.
Tell me, said Figueroa.
At 1:30 he drove to Central Station and met with 2 men. They walked across to the Sheraton and had coffee in the bar. The meeting lasted for about 20 minutes, after which Nystrom returned to Artillerygatan.
So who were they?
They're new faces. 2 men in their mid-30s who seemed to be of Eastern European origin. Unfortunately, our observer lost them when they went into the Tunnelbana.
I see,
Figueroa said wearily.
Here are the pictures,
Toms said. He handed her a series of surveillance photographs. She glanced at the enlargements of 2 faces she had never set eyes on before.
Thanks,
she said, laying out the photographs on the conference table. She picked up her handbag to go and find something to eat. Anderson, who was standing nearby, bent to look more closely at the pictures.
Oh, shit, he said. Are the Nikolic brothers involved in this?
Figueroa stopped in her tracks.
Who did you say?
Those 2 are seriously rotten apples,
Anderson said.
Tommy and Miro Nikolic.
Have you had dealings with them?
Sure. 2 brothers from Hudinga. Serbs. We had them under observation several times when they were in their 20s and I was in the gangs unit. Miro is the dangerous one. He's been wanted for about a year for aggravated assault. I thought they'd both gone back to Serbia to become politicians or something.
Politicians?
Right. They went to Yugoslavia in the early 90s and helped carry out ethnic cleansing. They worked for a mafia leader, Arkan, who was running some sort of private fascist militia. They got a reputation for being shooters.
Shooters?
Hitmen. They've been flitting back and forth between Belgrade and Stockholm. Their uncle has a restaurant in Norrmalm, and they've apparently worked there once in a while. We've had reports that they were mixed up in at least 2 of the killings in what was known as the Cigarette War, but we never got close to charging them with anything.
Figueroa gazed mutely at the photographs. Then suddenly she turned pale as a ghost. She stared at Edklinth.
Blomqvist, she cried with panic in her voice. They're not just planning to involve him in a scandal. They're planning to murder him. Then the police will find the cocaine during the investigation and draw their own conclusions.
Edklinth stared back at her.
He's supposed to be meeting Erika Berger at Samir's Cauldron,
Figueroa said. She grabbed Anderson by the shoulder.
Are you armed?
Yes.
Come with me.
Figueroa rushed out of the conference room. Her office was 3 doors down. She ran in and took her service weapon from the desk drawer. Against all regulations, she left the door to her office unlocked and wide open as she raced off towards the elevators. Anderson hesitated for a second.
Go, Bublansky told him. Sonia, you go with them too.
Blomqvist got to Samir's Cauldron at 6:20. Berger had just arrived and found a table near the bar, not far from the entrance. He kissed her on the cheek. They both ordered lamb stew and strong beers from the waiter.
How was the she-woman? Berger said.
Cool, as usual.
Berger laughed.
If you don't watch out, you're going to become obsessed by her. Imagine, a woman who can resist the famous Blomqvist charm.
There are, in fact, several women who haven't fallen for me over the years,
Blomqvist said.
How has your day been?
Wasted, but I accepted an invitation to be on a panel to debate the whole SMP business at the Publicists Club. That will be my final contribution.
Great.
It's just such a relief to be back at Millennium.
You have no idea how good it is that you're back. I'm still elated.
It's fun to be at work again. I'm happy.
And I have to go to the gents, Blomqvist said, getting up.
He almost collided with a man who had just walked in. Blomqvist noticed that he looked vaguely Eastern European and was staring at him.
Then he saw the submachine gun.